Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been thinking over a period of time of the subject of scriptural marriage and family life, and this is a long series of messages, and I don't mean to make you weary with this series of messages, but I do want to emphasize that as we go through this part by part by part, that it's very important that we determine in our hearts and minds as husbands and wives that we are going to have scriptural marriages and families. In other words, it's not enough, as far as God is concerned, for us to be content with less. Sometimes we're satisfied with less. As long as we go to church on Sundays, as long as we do this thing and that thing in a religious way, then we're satisfied to be less than everything God wants us to be. We have prosperity, we have everything we need in life, and what more does God expect of us? Well, God expects a very high standard of us, and it's very important that we live lives that are pleasing to God so that God Himself can bless and favor our marriages and our homes. In other words, there are rewards for living according to the standards God has set. We have considered a number of different things, and today I want to talk a little bit about the wife as a mother and a wife. In other words, the place of a woman in the home and what she means as a wife and as a mother. We may not be able to finish all of this today, but let me just take a few things here that are very, very important concerning her as a wife and also as a mother. First of all, let's look at some of the scriptures that apply to this woman as a wife to her husband. Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. This describes her as the helpmate and the lifelong companion of the man. Now, this is a very important role that a woman has in the life of a man, the life of a husband, in other words. She is to be his helpmate and a lifelong companion. The idea of this is she's to meet his deepest needs, is to make any sacrifice in the meeting of those needs, and is to make him the center of her attention from a human standpoint. Now, we realize from a scriptural standpoint that, of course, it's very important that God have the highest place and the greatest priority in her life. But on the human level, she is absolutely committed and dedicated to her husband, to meeting his deepest needs as his helpmate and lifelong companion. So this is a very important truth that Genesis chapter 2 is teaching us concerning the wife. Then, of course, in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 1 to 30, she is to maintain the same purity in marriage as is required of the man. Now, it's interesting to me in this particular passage of Scripture that only one or two things apply to the woman. Most of the teaching in the long chapter, Leviticus chapter 18, applies to the man. But nevertheless, the purity of the wife is still just as important as the purity of the husband. She is to be pure in everything, and she is to be just as pure as she would expect her husband to be. And then the third passage of Scripture is one that we've referred to before, but let me come back to it again. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 28. She is to be a good homemaker, and is also to uphold the reputation and testimony of the family. And we're talking about her as a wife to her husband. In other words, the husband is to know when he's out at his job, whatever he's doing, that his wife is a faithful homemaker. She's taking care of the home. There may be young children in the home and so forth. But the husband needs to know that he's married a dedicated homemaker, one who is really going to make that home everything that God wants it to be. Some women approach the home as a place of drudgery and toil, and I think that's a wrong attitude for a woman to have. It is true that there is much hard work in the home, but she's to have the same joy of spirit as the woman of Proverbs chapter 31, looking at the home joyfully as an opportunity to have a good testimony in that home, to have a home that manifests the character of the Lord Himself, and of her relationship to the Lord, of her dedication to Him. So she does it with all her heart, dedicating her work in the home to the Lord. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 to 16. And this teaches us she is to be an example and is to exert spiritual influence in the home, whether the husband is a Christian or a non-Christian. In many, many homes today, when they got married, when the husband and the wife were married, neither one of them was a Christian. And then later, one of them becomes a Christian. Could be the husband, it could be the wife. And perhaps the other one is not yet a Christian. The idea in 1 Corinthians 7 is that she is to be an influence to win that person to the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we considered this before, where in verses 1 to 6 of 1 Peter chapter 3, the woman is married to a man who is disobedient. Now, we don't know what the word disobedient means there. It could be he's an unsaved man or he's a Christian who's not living the Christian life. And the question would be, what kind of a person is she to be in such a situation, either married to an unsaved man or to a disobedient Christian? She is to be a very dedicated, quiet, meek person who by godly life will win this person and influences this person to be a Christian or to be what he should be in the Christian life if he is a Christian already. So she's to be an example and to be a spiritual influence in the home. And then again in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, she is to be willing to submit to the leadership of her husband and is to manifest this quality also in her life, the quality of having a submissive, tender, loving spirit toward her husband. And so this is taught in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. We see the same principle set forth in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, this principle of submission. Then in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I've mentioned this already, but let me come back to it for just a moment. She is to submit to the leadership of the man so that God can use her spiritual example and her spiritual influence. Now, I trust that in my relationship with my wife, I am being what God wants me to be in relationship to her. But I've mentioned before, and I want to mention again, the tremendous influence and example my wife is to me. In other words, when I look at her life and I watch her labor for the Lord, I watch her devotion to the Lord, I watch her walk with the Lord, she's an influence on my life and a challenge and an encouragement to me to be everything God wants me to be. How wonderful that is when a wife has this kind of an example and an influence even upon her own husband. This is the kind of wife God wants her to be to her husband. Now, let me just take a couple of other things before I close. And that is the wife as a mother and a homemaker. The wife as a mother and a homemaker. It's not only upon her husband she exerts an influence, but it's also upon her own children she's exerting this spiritual influence. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 to 28, gives us a picture of a dedicated woman named Hannah. We don't know much else about Hannah, but we do know that she was a very dedicated woman. And this passage gives us the example of this woman as an example to her husband and to her son. Now, the husband himself loved her very, very dearly, but they had no children. And finally, God promised her a child. But the first thing she did when this child was given to her was to dedicate this child completely to the Lord. What a tremendous example this would be to the husband and to the children. Now, he was her only child, the only one as far as she knew that she would ever have, but she dedicated this child absolutely to the Lord. Her words were these, "I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." In other words, this child belongs to the Lord, and no matter what God wants to do with him, I am willing for God to work out his will in his life. As it turns out, of course, Samuel became one of the greatest prophets that Israel ever knew. Samuel was a great, great man of God and a great influence in that wicked nation of Israel, just coming out of the time of the judges, the nation was. And they needed a man like Samuel to be the example and the influence. And I believe it goes back to the mother named Hannah, who first dedicated him to the Lord, committed him to work in the temple with Eli the priest, and finally saw that son grow up to be that great man of God. Then, of course, in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Now, this passage speaks of the task that Mary had in raising the boy Jesus. I want to be very clear about our feelings concerning Mary. We respect and we deeply honor this woman, not as some people have made her, like the Mother of God and so forth. We believe, of course, this would be a blasphemy against God to say that God has a mother. But nevertheless, we honor this woman named Mary. She was a pure virgin. She was a pure woman of God when Joseph finally took her for his wife. She was a pure mother of Jesus. She did have other children. She had four sons and at least two daughters. And the Bible is very clear in the Gospels that she had this many children. But we honor her very greatly. But it speaks of the task in this passage I've just noted from Luke chapter 2. It speaks of the task she had in raising this child as a young child. We know that Jesus had to be raised like any other child. In other words, he was not yet in adulthood. He was now a child, and he had to be submissive to his parents, and he had to be raised in the fear of the Lord in every way. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, the Apostle Paul, in a very interesting way, uses this example of a nursing mother. And he uses his example to portray his own ministry among the Thessalonians. He takes the most tender relationship anyone could possibly have with anyone else, and he says, "This is the way I was with you Thessalonians." Now let's come back to the example he uses. The example of a nursing mother. In other words, she holds this child so tenderly, so gently in her arms. She speaks to this child in very quiet, tender tones. The child knows that he has a mother, or she has a mother, who dearly, dearly loves him or her. And so this is the picture of a mother and the example she is to a child. And I trust throughout her life, this mother would be the same to the child. A very, very tender, loving relationship. And then one final passage. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, Paul emphasizes her character as a wife and a mother. He's speaking now of a deacon's wife and what she should be and what kind of a person she should be. And this deacon's wife now is to be a woman of very high character, and a woman who's a wonderful example as a deacon's wife. She's not herself a deacon, but she occupies a very, very important place, and her character is everything that God wants her character to be. Now, I want to stop in these few moments, but I want to simply urge you that in every way, you women listening to this program are to be in every way what God wants you to be, both as a wife and a mother. I've only taken a very few of these passages of Scripture and shared them with you. But in every way, you're to be everything God wants you to be as a wife and a mother. And what an important role this is. I realize that sometimes women tend to look down upon these roles and the labor and everything else that are involved in fulfilling these roles. But in God's eyes, these roles are important to God, and they're roles that God has given to the wife and to the mother, that she might fulfill these in ways pleasing to God and in ways that are going to bring about the results that God wants to bring. May the Lord help you, each one, to be everything that God wants you to be, and may the Lord bless you, each one.